been good for me to be here. I've enjoyed the time thus far. The singing and Brother Jimmy. Lord bless you, brother. That psalm is one of my favorite psalms, actually. And we will never, on this side of glory, be able to comprehend the fullness of that.
Amen.
Nor in this simple flesh of ours, who will be able to continuously dwell in it. But it's truly needful that we remember it. And that we remember that He is indeed our dwelling place. Because sometimes out here in the midst of the storms, we forget. We forget that we have that strong tower. We forget that we have that dwelling place that has been from everlasting to everlasting. It didn't just pop up overnight.
That's right.
It's always been there. Pray for me as I stand before you this morning. I guess my thoughts have been in the some of the Old Testament saints. I just marvel at the faithfulness of God. And when you think about what has been revealed to us in this gospel dispensation in the New Testament that they didn't have. You think about the hope that they had. Even though that hope wasn't necessarily revealed to them in a way that it has been revealed to us. But yet, how God moved into their lives. And sometimes I feel that the faith that they had was much stronger than mine. I know that we have a whole lot more distractions than they did. But nonetheless, their trials were probably just as great as the ones that we go through. I was thinking as we were riding down the highway, I guess we're a little better than 100 miles from here. And, the saints of old didn't travel that far in one day, let alone a couple of hours. And we have a whole lot of distractions during that 100-mile drive coming down here that they didn't have. But yet, they were suffered to live with the same tempter. They were suffered to have the trials of their time. But yet, in many, God shows us evidence in His Word as to how He lifted them up out of those troubles and trials and blessed them to praise the Lord our God. Sometimes I think in those examples, for me anyway, that I don't praise Him enough.
Right.
When I see what some of the saints of old went through, I look at them as my little trials as being very small in comparison to what they went through. I want to talk just for a few moments about a little sister whose name was Hannah. I call her a little sister, but that sister had a whole lot more faith than this in her head. And she seems to have had a closeness to God that oftentimes I long for. You think about her back in there, and also think about those two sisters in the Gospel of Luke, I think. They also appear in the other Gospels, Mary and Martha. How God blessed them to exercise their faith. Even in the midst of being cumbered about with the circumstances of life, yet they remain faithful. Faithful to the Lord our God. In the book of Samuel, first chapter there, I won't read the whole thing. It begins with Hannah, who is married to Elkanah. That's E-L-K-A-N-A-H. Some people probably spell it differently, or pronounce it differently. But he had two wives, and Hannah was one of those two wives. And the first part of it just outlines the grief and sorrow that Hannah experienced. Because you see, the Lord had shut up Hannah's womb, and she was without child. So usually they would go to this sacrifice, and Hannah would be tortured by the other wife. It kind of reminds me one of my sisters. who I always had. Of course, it's the last. She's too much like me. That's why we kind of butt heads from time to time. But how, as a little kid, she used to terrorize my little sister, the youngest sister, how the older brother would get in the middle of that, and that's probably one of the reasons why we butt heads. But Hannah's, the Elkins or Ella White, she would torture Hannah because she was able to bear kids, and Hannah was not. And unlike today, where for some it doesn't matter, unlike today, that was very important. To Hannah. She grieved quite a bit because of that, because it went on and on every year. It wasn't like, this year maybe she'd be nice to her, but it just kind of went on and on. So I'm going to start reading there at and before I start reading, and it wasn't because Hannah's grief was not because she felt that her husband loved her any less. In fact, scripture would show that her husband loved her even more than the other wife. So, verse 9, it says, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon his seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore." And she vowed a vow, and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Interesting request, isn't it? You see, Hannah knew that her circumstance was not beyond that which God could cure. But you know, under Hannah also, made a vow Now, I don't know of anybody who's done what Hannah did. I mean, because by nature, we're typically selfish creatures. So why would I pray, or why would anybody pray that they would have a child that they were basically never had possession of? Understanding that as she had the child, it would be by the hands of Almighty God. So in essence, it was his. The child belonged to the Lord who gave it the child. That's a hard concept for us to understand, see, because even when in this time, in this present time age, that realization that when the Lord blesses us, be it with a child, be it with a spouse, whatever He blesses us with, it is a blessing in a timely sense. For a season of time, that blessing comes to us. These things in the way of those kinds of gifts are not eternal gifts. They're for us, our pleasure, our enjoyment, for while we're here. And so when one loses a loved one, for instance, oftentimes you see in that grief, you see bitterness. Because they think that whoever they lost belonged to them for some reason. You don't belong to anybody except He who purchased you. That's who we belong to. We forget as God's little children that we have been purchased with a price. And that price is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We did nothing to purchase one another. So that realization, brethren, as to who life belongs to, it belongs to the giver thereof.
That's right.
And that is the Lord. Hannah understood that concept even then. A concept that we today have a very difficult time grasping that truth. Because we take natural possessions of things. I don't care what it is. It could be these billionaires who want more money. It doesn't matter what it is that you want in life. As Job said, naked I came into this world, naked you're going to leave. You're not going to take any of that stuff with you. But we are expected to be good stewards of that which God has entrusted us with. If you have a child, God has entrusted you with that child to bring it up in a way that is pleasing to Almighty God. Not to do whatever you want to do. It is a gift from God. The child belongs to the life giver. As parents, we're caretakers. We're stewards. It is our job to do that which is pleasing to God with that which He has given us. It's truly a great blessing when a little child of grace is blessed with that understanding of life. Hannah was. This little sister who had been tormented by her, her husband's other wife, she wanted to give birth. That's all she wanted. Realizing that she was blessed with a man-child, as she has petitioned the Lord, that she was merely going to give it back to he who gave life to her. That, brethren, is a faith that is being exercised there. That goes beyond any of our natural understanding. But yet, in Hannah and in the other examples we see in Scripture, we see God blessing these ones to exercise that faith in a way that it becomes also a benefit to you and I as we partake of these examples, as we glean through the Word of God. When you see Hannah here, and take the scripture that Brother Jimmy read, for instance, and going and submitting that petition, she knew that she was being tormented, but she also knew that there was a place of refuge for her. There was somewhere that she could go to dwell and to pour out her soul unto the Lord. You too have that place.
Amen.
As we journey in this world. You see, because this everlasting God, who has forever been the dwelling place for his little children, changeth not. He was there for Hannah. He's there for you. He's going to be there for the last air promise that comes into this world. And when it comes time to go home, he has prepared a place for us.
Amen.
We will forever be in his presence. But you see, as we read this here, it says here now, and it came to pass that she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. You see, it's saying on down Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. I can recall times, even in the workplace, where I might wander by a staff member and they're sitting there moving their lips. Many people will be embarrassed about that. But I would say to you, the scripture tells us to pray without ceasing. And as Hannah did, Hannah wasn't praying for an audience. She was talking to God. And God heard her. Eli didn't hear. He only saw her lips move. And brethren, what a great example here she shows us of the gift of prayer. Prayer is not about our many words. Prayer is not about what we think other people want us to pray. Prayer is a communication that is directly from a little Lamb of God to the Lord our God, the Creator of this world. It is the most direct communication that a little child of grace will experience on this side of glory. So why do we so often neglect it? You know, think about it. You have been gifted with an audience, a personal audience, that is. You don't have to stand in line for it. There's no payment required of you because it's already been paid.
That's right.
And you have unlimited access to the creator of this world.
Right. Amen.
Think about that.
Yeah.
And then ask ourselves, why do we neglect exercising the gift that we have been given? Do we realize, just like Hannah here, do we realize what burdens would be lifted when we exercise what we have been given? Do we realize that we spend so much time contemplating upon life and upon things that are by nature of no benefit at all? When the true deliverance comes by having an audience with the great I Am, it doesn't matter what the issue is, the trial, the circumstance. It doesn't matter what it is. God is greater than your trial. His power is greater than the world. Now, as Brother Barney preached yesterday, you may feel cast down in this world, but you'll never be destroyed. And you will never be separated from the love of God. Why? Because He purposed to love you. You can't sever that. You can't do anything about it at all to undo what He has done. But what you can do is fail to receive the benefits that comes from the love in which He has loved you with. How do we do that? Well, simply by turning to the world for deliverance rather than turning to Him. Simple as that. I mean, it's not rocket science. You don't need a degree to figure this out. But He has given us a faith, brethren, not that we would just hold on to it, but that we would exercise it.
Use it. Absolutely.
Use it. Use it. And Hannah, verse 15, and Hannah answered and said, let's go back to 14. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? put away thy wine from thee. You see how we can so easily misjudge and misunderstand? When I saw that staff moving their lips, praise be to God, the Lord had blessed me enough to understand that.
Sure.
The sister's probably praying.
Right.
I mean, some people could form all kinds of conclusions about what she was doing. Just like Eli did. Now, Eli was the priest during that time. And you would think that she came to the temple, Eli's the priest. She said she's down there. You would think that Eli would think, well, maybe the sister's praying. No, he thinks she's drunk. So Hannah answers him in verse 15. And Hannah answers and says, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Have you ever been blessed to pour out your soul before the Lord? Sometimes I think my attempts at prayer are pitiful. And Scripture tells us that all times we don't know what to pray. I think probably when we go to that throne and words don't come, maybe we should just be still and listen to the Lord. Rather than trying to make something up that because you think you need to say something, maybe we just need to be still and know that God is God. And even though we can't utter the words verbally, we know that God knows our hearts.
That's right.
He knows what's troubling you, even if you can't say it. So rather than trying to put it into words that you can't even begin to contemplate, sometimes we just need to be still and spend that time with the Lord. And let Him speak to us. I truly believe that He does. I think He spoke to Hannah. But you know, when Eli figured out that the sister wasn't drunk, it did change here. In verse 17, it says, "Then Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him.' And she said, 'Let that handmaid find grace in thy sight.' So the woman went her way and did eat, and her continence was no more sad." Wow, that's right. I believe the Spirit of the Lord spoke to that little sister. Spoke to her heart. You see, because she wasn't eating before. I didn't read that part of the book. She was not eating before. But she went back and she ate. She was in grief before. But she wasn't anymore. Because the Lord had heard her petition. The Lord had touched her heart. For us, brethren, sometimes it's all about simply trusting in the Lord. And when we take that burden to the throne of grace, and we get up and go away, we feel uplifted. Because the Lord has lifted that burden off of our hearts. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes the problem is still there. But we were blessed to realize that the Lord has the problem. The Lord has taken that problem. He has yoked you with Him. And He will carry you through. The simplicity of what God tells us, brethren, makes this old nature of ours as rebellious as we are. We can be just like those who feel that Jesus didn't do it all, that he needed us to do something. And sometimes when we go to that throne, we're thinking that, well, the Lord needs me to do something. If he does, he will whisper that in your ear. But if he doesn't, we should simply be still.
Amen.
And wait upon the Lord.
Exactly.
He will carry you through. You can bank on that. No, he's not Amazon Prime. He doesn't deliver the next day, maybe, but he will deliver. As some old sister told me years ago, the Lord is never late.
That's right. Amen.
He's always on time.
Amen.
So sometimes we need to reset our clocks.
Right.
You know, Scripture says, was it 1,000 years is a day?
Or yesterday.
Sometimes, brethren, we just simply need to wait upon the Lord. I think Isaiah said, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How many of us don't like waiting? That question was not for raising hands as much as it was for a questioning of our hearts. Just something to think about. It says here that, just so if you haven't read this, so that you know the end of the story. And they wrote, verse 19, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked of him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. The sister made a vow, she made a promise. The Lord remembered her. And she praised the Lord when she weaned Samuel, presented him before the Lord, and there Samuel remained all the days of his life. Blessed be the Lord.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Good, good, good preacher.